Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue and my cohort in creepitude for our 13th season and going, y'all, Miss Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend. Happy 13th season.
It's a 13th season, y'all. We're super excited. And what we like to do with the first episode of a new season is something different. Either we do a cadre of creeps, you know, four or five. We have a
cadre of creeps.
I forgot the word. What of creeps? It. I don't know. But we have like a gaggle of creeps.
Yeah.
Today we just have two. And we just decided to pick a couple of guys. They're about the same age. They're very similar in many, many ways. And they have this ick factor attached to them. And some people are kind of like, well, what's that all about? We're about to tell you what it's all about, y'all. But in the meantime, I just want to say you could find us on social media. We have a basic Facebook page. We use that to basically allow people who want to complain to us about our language. That's a spot they can go to. We use salty language in this program.
Fuck yeah.
We do have a private Facebook group. You do have to ask to join. We have three questions we ask you to answer. Do your best. Just give it a shot. Maybe you'll be wrong, but it'll be amusing. Who knows? But we try to keep the group safe and fun and a place where people can hang out and not feel like they're going to be attacked. Believe it or not, it's actually a nice spot to hang out. We're on Twitter at CreepPod because somebody had What a Creep on Twitter for 10 years and never used it.
Creep!
We have an Instagram page, What a Creep Podcast, and we have a basic old-timey email, whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. In all of those places and spaces, we said this at the top of the show because we're always looking for suggestions for creeps and especially non-creeps. Today we're not doing a non-creep. We have the two creeps today, but most usually with our show we have one creep and then we have a non-creep to end it.
Yeah,
but anyway, all those places, or if you would like some stickers, please, you know, send us an email. We'll send them to you wherever you are in the world. I also want to thank Tangerine Queen. She joined our Patreon page.
Oh, thank you.
And at this Patreon page, we put out bonus episodes where we just kind of shoot the shit, talk about stuff. We have our first season on there, and I'm just about to put the second season of our show is going to go up on that Patreon wall. Thank you all for participating there. It really helps us out. And also, I want to thank for the iTunes reviews from Living Free, Marine Sky, and Steve. All y'all left us 5-star reviews.
Thank you.
So appreciate it. And Sonia, do you want to tell them about our website?
Yes, you can go to whatacreeppodcast.com, and it's everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast, but were afraid to ask. You can find links to almost all of our episodes, not season one and two. What? And there's a link to our merch shop. It'll take you to threadless.com and you can get shirts or tote bags, whatever you want. I can face masks. The face masks are great, by the way.
Super comfortable.
I've bought a few of them. I love them. My kid loves them. They're fabulous.
Okay, I want to also say before we start, because sometimes we forget to do this, trigger warnings.
Yes.
Sexual assault, sexual harassment, and gaslighting. That's on my end. How about for you? Same?
Same.
All right, so just take care of yourselves before you listen, as you listen, that kind of thing.
Yes.
All right, I will go first if you're cool with that, just going alphabetically, not like one's a better creep or a bigger creep than the other.
I feel slighted. No, it's all good. Go for it.
Okay. Casey Affleck is a successful actor, writer, director who was nominated for an Academy Award for the Best Supporting Actor in the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. That was a real movie title from 2007.
Really good movie, actually.
I like it too. By the way, I think he's a great actor. What can I say? He looks like all my cousins. I mean, like, he's just that kind of dude. He also had roles in a string of hit films, To Die For, which is great. Good Will Hunting, great. Ocean's 11, 12, 13. the first one's great.
Yeah.
And Gone Baby Gone, really good movie, directed by his brother, Ben.
Such a good movie.
Awesome movie. In 2009, he and his good friend, Joaquin Phoenix, Max, super fan of Joaquin decided to direct a Spinal Tap-esque film where Joaquin would play a hyped-up version of himself, becoming a hip-hop star after winning an Oscar for Walk the Line. It was called I'm Still Here, and it was a flop in many ways, artistically and financially. Casey Affleck did the one thing he was not supposed to do. He used his own money to fund it. Never do that, folks. You're a white man. People throw money at you. Don't you know that? He was later sued by two women who worked for him for sexual assault and continual harassment on the set by him and his cohorts. The lawsuit has not stopped the press fawning over his talent. Really, you will find many think pieces about how amazing Casey Affleck is. By the way, he is, but he's also kind of a creep.
Exactly.
In this episode, we will talk about these two lawsuits and their aftermath. And I want to say my sources are real quick. Casey Affleck's his Wikipedia page, Daily Beast, and Time Magazine, The Guardian, and two lawsuits that I printed out. I read them myself from Magdalena Gorka and Amanda White.
Damn.
Yeah. I know. I
Good
got into
you.
It. Felt
yeah, you
professional.
Did.
Caleb Casey McGuire Affleck Bolt.
What?
That's
a really long name.
Maybe that started his anger as a kid. That's too much to remember, Mom. I can't fit it on the pages.
I can't finish the Scantron. I spend the whole test time just filling in my name.
All my kids with three names make fun of me. Born August 12th, 1975. That would make him a Leo. In Falmouth, Massachusetts. I think that's how you pronounce it. Sorry. Massachusetts people get very upset when you mispronounce things. And this is such a Massachusetts thing. His mother was an elementary school teacher, and his father was an auto mechanic. His parents divorced when he was 9 years old, and he and his brother, older brother Ben, mostly lived with their mother growing up. They did spend a year, I think it was a year, living in Mexico. He's fluent in Spanish. Both of them are very intelligent, and their mother's Harvard educated. I mean, they're super smart people. Their dad had drinking issues and wound up in rehab in California. But this changed the course of his life. He got sober, and the boys both say he was a much better person, nicer person when he got sober, and we salute that.
Mm-hmm.
His father in the 1960s was active in a theater company in Boston. And so the Affleck brothers, Affleck, I know that's a joke I probably never get tired of. They were raised around writers and directors and had an interest in acting from a very early age. His first big break was in the Nicole Kidman movie To Die For, which is such a great movie. Completely
yes.
holds up. But right after that big break, the parts started drying up. So he decided to head to college. And as I said, he's a really smart person. He went to George Washington University in D.C. and then Columbia in New York. Once his acting career picked up again, he left school. So he didn't graduate, but he did go to pretty good schools. He had a string of films that were commercially successful, and critics singled him out of the cast for several of his productions. His personal life was picking up as well. He met actress Summer Phoenix, who is the sister of Joaquin, in 2000. They dated for several years before getting married in 2006. He had two sons with her, one in 2004 and the other in 2008. Something I'm going to say about Joaquin is he grew up in the Children of God cult, which is something we may cover one day. It was a completely fucked up religion, cult, whatever it was, and there were several accounts of child abuse over the years. So I kind of give him a little bit of leeway for what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he and his brother River Phoenix, they it was really terrible. And they open the movie I'm Still Here, they open with a clip of River and Joaquin and his siblings like playing guitar, like busking for money.
Oh.
And they play it for laughs, but when you know, like, the real story, like, the family was starving, and they just sent the kids out there to do that. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, that is sad.
Yeah. In 2009, he and Joaquin decided to begin their mockumentary, and the crew included two women who would sue Casey for sexual harassment and breach of an oral contract. He was directing this, and he was in charge. He initially responded by saying he was going to countersue them and denied the allegations. The women said, go for it. And he never did.
Right.
They settled out of court. And both women, by the way, have credits in the movie, and I'll post those in there. I don't see the movie. It's really stupid. I will be describing directly from the lawsuits what they said happened on and off the set. And this was filed in July of 2010. Magdalena Gorka, she signed an agreement to be the director of photography for the film in December 2008. That is a big deal, by the way. The
yes.
DP changes the entire film. I think they are the most important person after the director.
Mm-hmm.
She signed up for a per-day fee, and she had 16 years experience at the time. We should also say Hollywood is a big gig culture. A lot of people just pick up assignments as they go. They don't have like a regular place to go to work. You know what I mean? And
right.
So you take what you can and you try to make more and more all the time, but deals fall apart. You could get stranded someplace. So it's always kind of shaky. It's not, you know, going into show business is not easy. It's not for wimps.
Yeah, it's freelance work. It's the same as freelance work. It's you got to hustle.
Yeah.
And word of mouth means a lot.
Yeah. And somebody recommending you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. From the beginning, she said she was in a work environment with very few women on the production team. From the beginning, the men were making lewd comments about her. They suggested that she have sex with a camera assistant. The crew traveled to New York City, and there was no hotel ready for them. Joaquin and Casey had an apartment in New York City, and they're like, hey, everybody can just crash here. She was the only woman.
Mm.
Once again, she's a freelancer. She's kind of going from gig to gig, and Casey's paying her bills.
Yeah.
He's in charge of the production. He told her that she could sleep in his room, and then he would hang out with everybody else kind of in the living room and sleep on a couch. She woke up in the morning to find him in his underwear and wrapped around her body in the bed. She told him to get out because he was married and her boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He left in a very pissy mood. That wasn't in the document. That's me just.
Yeah.
She left the project and she told her agent what happened. When she tried to find work right away, it was challenging because it's middle of December. It's hard to find work then. That's when she was contacted by Amanda White, and she was a new producer brought to the project. And she asked her, please come back. And she assured her, like, we'll look out for each other. We'll make sure the set's safer. Over the next few months, though, she was harassed by the crew. And Affleck basically treated her like garbage and verbally abused her on a regular basis.
What an asshole.
She was forced to resign, and the production company broke the terms of her contract. She wanted to have DP credit, director of photography, and to be paid for the time she worked. And they were saying no.
That's fucked up.
Amanda White is a producer who also sued Affleck, and many of her stories are in alliance with Magdalena. 1 month into her tenure on the film, Affleck told a crew member he should take his pants off and show her his penis. She asked for this not to happen. He did it anyway.
What the fuck? These women are just trying to do their job. It just makes me so angry. Okay.
Casey.
Calm down.
All Casey right. Affleck repeatedly referred to women as cows. He talked about his sexual exploits and those of other celebrities that he had witnessed. Once again, this is a married man with two young kids.
Yes.
When he found out how old she was, he told her, isn't it time you get pregnant? There were occasions when he did not show up for work, and she had to figure out what to film and to handle the logistics. Both women talk about there were crew shoots in Miami, Las Vegas, New York, and Costa Rica. In Las Vegas, and this is where the movie opens up, the women didn't know what was going on. So basically, it's supposed to be this party atmosphere that he's getting drunk and high in Vegas as a hip-hop star. And the women didn't know that the men had hired sex workers to be on the set. And then the sex workers were performing sex acts on the set. Now, that's pornography. And mm-hmm. that's a whole other business. This is not what these women signed up for.
Yeah. So they weren't acting?
No.
Okay. Got it.
And the women were in this environment. There's like 35 people and them and the two of them. And they're mm-hmm. trying to film and figure out what they can film and what they can, you know, not get freaked out.
Right.
Magdalena asked to be warned from now on when scenes like this were being planned. White many times was praised for her work by Affleck in emails and just out loud on the set. She managed to get him on the David Letterman show, and it garnered a ton of press for the movie. And like Joaquin went on the show and acted like a total asshole. David Letterman didn't know that he was filming it for a bit. Which David Letterman is also
Andy,
kind of a creep
so
sometimes.
So Andy Kaufman of
yeah,
him.
Exactly. It's so original.
Mm.
He had praised her for being unstoppable and good-tempered. Now, there's an actor and cameraman on this movie. Oh, he's such a prick. Anyway, he was on the shoot, Anthony Langdon. And I'm not sure whether or not he's the one who shows his dick throughout the film. There's a man in this film who continually shows his dick. I will never see this movie again, so I don't know. But it was like, you know.
Thanks for the heads up. Yes. I won't be watching this one. Life's too short for shitty movies.
He is the one who exposed his penis to the women on set, off set, on the planes. He harassed Magdalena regularly. He's married, by the way. Ladies, he's taken. Mm.
Sorry, ladies.
Both women asked Affleck to keep Landon in check, but he refused to get involved. When the crew shot in Costa Rica, the crew went out to dinner. And Magdalena and Amanda had their own room, and then everybody else was sort of like, because they were buddying up to protect each other.
Mm-hmm.
When they go back to their room to sleep after dinner, which is a thing people do, yes. they were locked out of their room because Affleck and Joaquin Phoenix were having sex with two other women in their room. They had their own rooms. They could bang these chicks.
Yes.
But they chose these women's room. Why did they do that?
Because they're assholes?
Yes. After Costa Rica, Affleck had the two women come to his house to talk about the project. When they got there, he berated and yelled at them for their performance in Costa Rica. When they told him to step off and leave him and not talk to them that way, he grew more agitated and used violent language against them. The next shoot was in San Francisco, which is a hop, skip, and a jump from LA. You could just go there for the day.
Yes.
Amanda was going on that trip. They were doing a shoot there, and he wanted her to stay with him in San Francisco overnight. She said, nope, I got to be back home. He grabbed her arm and tried to keep her to stay in San Francisco. She ran away and got away from him. After that, he started sending her abusive texts. The foul language, calling her all these kinds of things. So she quit in April of 2009. He then wanted to back out of the final financial agreement that they had. Now, this is the these are the basics of what happened. So this is April of 2009. Eventually, they finish the film. Eventually, the film comes out, doesn't get reviewed well. You know, it's a big clusterfuck. In July of 2010, these women have not been paid. In the meantime, Casey Affleck is portrayed in the media about him being sued. He had another female producer in the film vouched for him and the crew and said nothing happened. She didn't see anything wrong. And basically, it was swept under the rug. Both women got credit on the film and they were paid an undisclosed sum. So they settled. He continued his acting career and had many successes at the box office and critical success. He gets fawning profiles in big magazines and the big news outlets. And all the allegations are pretty much forgotten. In 2016, he stars in a movie that is produced by Matt Damon.
Matt Damon!
Matt Damon!
Matt Damon! It's called Manchester by the Sea. It's the most depressing thing you'll see in your life.
Oh my God, that movie. It's the biggest fucking bummer.
It's a huge bummer. And he's great in it. He plays an alcoholic man that's dealing with grief. And I think Michelle Williams, she's in there too. He wins several awards for this performance, including the National Board of Review, Critics' Choice, Golden Globes, BAFTA, and the Academy Award. He was presented the award by Alison Brie. And what happens with the Academy Award is the best actor presents to the best actress the following year, right? And vice versa. So she had won best actress the previous year. He comes up to get his award. And there's sort of this people going on in, you know, places like you would expect, Vulture, Daily Beast, Gawker, Jezebel. People are saying, like, wait, isn't this the creep from a few years ago that was like sexually harassing women? Like, why are we forgetting that? And when he comes to the stage, you know, she kisses him on the cheek and hands him a, it's what you do, what you're supposed to do, shove him. I mean, yeah. But when he's done speaking, and this is the thing you have to see, you get this clip of him, and I'll post it in the Facebook group. The first thing that Casey does is he's like, I want to thank Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington was also nominated, who taught me everything I know about acting. I met him for the first time today. It's like,
and he taught me everything I know. I just met him.
We just had some hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
Denzel gives him the biggest stink eye you've ever seen in your life. Like, he's like going to punch him in the balls. And I don't know if it's because he's mad about losing or he just knows what an asshole this guy is. But
yeah,
it's
he's
so
like,
funny.
Keep my name out of your mouth.
Get my name out of your goddamn mouth, you punk.
Was it Alison Brie or was it Jennifer Lawrence?
She won it for the movie Home. What was it called? It was the one where the woman was kidnapped. And
you're thinking of Brie Larson.
What did I say?
Alison Brie.
Ah!
I was like, when did Alison Brie win an Oscar?
I am so sorry.
No,
Alison Brie, you will win one day.
She probably will. She's great. And it's so funny because her name is going to come up in my story.
Oh, great. So. Okay. So it's not all for naught.
No, Brie, you're laying the groundwork.
Brie Larson. We're just running on caffeine at this point.
Yeah, we're fine. It's fine.
Brie Larson won for that very depressing movie about the woman that's kidnapped and has a baby with her.
That movie, also a fucking bummer.
Also a bummer. And also, she's very, you know, cognizant of people that are victims of crime.
Yes.
And sexual violence, because this is something like she had to kind of dig for her character.
Yes. It's a great movie.
It
Room is great.
Right.
It's just, it's hard to watch.
The Room is more fun. Room is... Also, James Franco. We'll talk about that. Oh, my God. Believe me, guys. We get this all together. Okay.
Yes.
Brie Larson. Denzel gives him the stink eye. And then she kisses him on the... hands him the award. He gives a stupid speech. And then he walks away and Brie Larson is like got like a 6 foot distance. She's socially distancing from him as they walk off camera. In 2016, he did tell the New York Times when they brought up the lawsuits. He said, you know, it was settled to the satisfaction of all concerned. I am over it. It was an unfortunate situation, mostly for the bystanders of the families involved. What?
Fuck off.
Yeah. He wins the Oscar in March of 2017. And in the fall, the Me Too movement is launched. Harvey Weinstein, we've all heard all the people, Matt Lauer, all those assholes. The following year, he was going to present for the best actress, who I don't remember who that is now. I won't. Maybe it was Alison Brie. I don't know. She'll
I don't
win
remember.
One day. Okay. But he says... there's all these people like, why the fuck is this asshole going to be presenting an Oscar? Like, you know, so he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to, I don't want to cause a distraction, which is smart. Just stay the fuck away. In 2018, he said that the set was unprofessional and that he was sorry. He means back in the, you know, he was confused at his own behavior because his mother is a feminist. Fellas, if you don't treat all women with respect, that shit does not count.
Nope.
I don't care if you're raised by all women and you have a dozen daughters. If you can't treat every woman well, you're not an ally. So fuck off with that shit.
Yeah. And fuck off with like getting one woman to vouch for you, by the way, just because you treated her well doesn't mean you treated all women well.
Right.
It's bullshit.
Remember that when people do that, you guys. So this article, this interview, excuse me, it was from the AP. It was televised, but it also was put in print. He explained, I really didn't know what I was responsible for as a boss. Who but a white man can say that? But I behaved in a way that was really unprofessional. He then admits that he took cover in the fact that no one really makes him talk about it. And then they asked him, how come you haven't said anything when the whole Me Too movement was happening? And he said, I just thought it would be better if I kept my mouth shut. He's not wrong. Yeah, he's not wrong. In 2019, he then told the Guardian newspaper that the problem was the crew was doing a ton of partying on the set, and it made things confusing and a big mess. This was in promotion for a movie he wrote and directed called Light of My Life. The plot, you ask?
Don't know it.
The plot is there's a pandemic, written and directed by Casey Affleck, by the way. There's a pan. He got to direct a movie. Okay.
Again.
A pandemic has wiped out the world's female population. He is protecting his young daughter from horrible men who want to kidnap her. That's the plot. This terrified 9-year-old being protected by her dad because a bunch of men want to take her.
That sounds terrible.
That sounds fucking horrifying. Daily Beast writer Amy Zimmerman described it as a total fuck you to anyone who's familiar with the allegations against him.
Yeah.
It didn't do very well. And I don't think he's married. He divorced from Summer a few years ago. They say they're on totally fine terms. Mm-hmm. He still acts. I'm sure somebody will give him money to direct something. I think he's very talented. And we say on this show that there's always room for a comeback. There's always room for you to make up for what you've done and to overcome that. But avoiding things or throwing other women out there to, or just saying it was all the partying, man, it was the beer and the drugs, doesn't do it.
That's not taking responsibility.
Right. I believe he can. He's a young man. I'm sure he can. I'd like for him to.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, that's my creep this week. Casey Affleck.
Good job, my friend. What a fucking creep.
Yeah.
It's so disappointing, too, because he is talented. And, and hopefully try to actually make some amends. That would be awesome.
The road to redemption. We do believe in one.
It can happen.
Yeah.
I think this one's a contender for Road to Redemption, too. We're going to talk about James Franco. Sources for this episode are BuzzFeed, Variety, People Magazine, Magazine, NPR, LA Times, and Wikipedia. So James Edward Franco was born April 19th, 1978 in Palo Alto, California, Silicon Valley. It's not too far from where I am, actually. Mm-hmm. His mother, Betsy Liu, is a children's book author and occasional actress. And his father was Douglas Eugene Franco. He ran a business in Silicon Valley. He actually died in 2011. Hmm. He has two brothers, Tom, who is also an actor, and he founded the Firehouse Art Collective in Berkeley, California. His other brother is Dave Franco. He's actually co-starred in movies like 21 Jump Street and Neighbors. And it's called Now You See Me. Yeah. I didn't watch those movies. I think there's two of them. And he is married to Allison Brie.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So there you go.
Okay, guys. We got our Brees all straightened
We've got our Brees all lined up. James Franco attended the University of California, Los Angeles, so UCLA. He was an English major. But he dropped out because he really wanted to be an actor. And he took acting lessons at the Playhouse West down in Southern California. And he worked the night shift at McDonald's. His parents were not supportive of this. This is why he was having to work at McDonald's.
I worked in fast food.
Yeah. No, a lot of us have. Yeah. No, I'm not shaming him at all. Like I worked at a movie theater all through college. Like, you gotta pay the bills, man.
I worked at Roy Rogers.
Oh,
they're on the East Coast.
That place? I know of that place. So while working at McDonald's, he would practice his accents on customers. I'm just thinking, those poor fucking customers. They just want their Big Macs. And he's like, would you like fries with that? Or doing whatever he's doing.
My wife. Oh.
my wife. His first paid role was a television commercial for Pizza Hut. And then after that, it just started ramping up for him. So he did Freaks and Geeks, which was on NBC. It's a really good show, mm-hmm. by the way. Busy Phillips was in that. We're going to talk about her in a sec. Seth Rogen's in there. It's a good show. He was in the Spider-Man movies, the one with Tobey Maguire. He did 8 movies with Seth Rogen, including Pineapple Express and This Is the End. He was nominated for Best Actor Oscar for 127 Hours. Did you see that movie?
That's the one where the guy cuts his arm off. Spoiler.
Yes. Spoilers. I didn't see it because I was like, that sounds like a miserable experience. So yeah. I'm going to pass. But I'm sure he's very good in it. And he also won a Golden Globe for Best Actor for The Disaster Artist. Did you see that one?
I did because I love The Room and I read the book.
I have not read The Room. I know how to read a room.
Yes.
But I have not read The Room. I did not see the movie and I did not see The Disaster Artist. So I didn't do near the research you did.
But I fuck up Brie Larson. So we're equal.
I have seen some of these other things. James Franco has also directed like 24 low budget indie features and shorts. He's written books. I don't know if you remember this. He did like a stint on General Hospital.
I do remember that.
Which was super weird. And then he turned it into an exhibit at the Museum of Contemporary Art. Mm-hmm. Most recently, he was on a show on HBO called The Deuce.
Yep, about Times Square.
Yeah, I watched some of the first season and I was like, yeah, it's fine. And then didn't go back. It just wasn't my jam. He also taught film classes at New York University, UCLA, Palo Alto High School, Playhouse West, and Studio 4. He is a very accomplished fellow.
Yeah.
Who just smart. Also happens to be a big fucking creep. First story I came across was Busy Phillips, who co-starred with him in Freaks and Geeks. She says that James Franco assaulted her on the set. In her memoir, This Will Only Hurt a Little, she said that in one of her scenes, she had to like lightly hit Franco like in the chest. They played boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And she like tapped him in the chest. And when the scene was over, he broke character and he like attacked her. And she said, this is what she wrote, that so he attacked her. And she wrote, he grabbed both my arms and he screamed in my face, don't ever touch me again. And he threw her to the ground flat on her back, like knocked the wind out of her.
Wasn't this tap in the script? Like she's supposed to shove him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was in there. Like, it wasn't like she was improvising and she just punched him in the face or something. It was in the script and she like lightly tapped him in the chest. Like, oh, you bonk,
you know, so-and-so.
It wasn't some big thing, but he knocked her to the ground. And then she said he stormed off and that he apologized the next day, but he was ordered to do it by the director. He was never punished for his behavior.
Of course.
Yeah, and she also said that he would try to steal her lines, take her lines and just say them while they were filming. And she's like, I already didn't have a lot of lines. And then he would like try to take her lines too.
Oh, fuck him.
I know. I'm like, what a prick. In 2014, Franco got busted using Instagram to try to lure a 17-year-old British girl to meet him at a hotel. She was only 17. He knew, like, I think she even said, I'm only 17 and I have a boyfriend. And he was like, don't care. Like,
I'm like, handsome and famous.
Yeah. Meet me at this hotel. And then, you know, after it went public, like he was on live with Kelly and Michael. And he just said, like, I'm embarrassed. And I guess I'm just a model of how social media is tricky. I used bad judgment and I learned my lesson.
Whatever.
And then you like never hear about it again. He was teaching at Studio 4. And this is where Franco started engaging in like really sexually exploitive, a lot of sexual misconduct with several young women who took classes there. So one of them is a woman named Sarah Kaplan. She was a student there and she appeared in some of his indie film projects. She said she was in one called The Long Home. I haven't seen these.
No.
This was all in the Los Angeles Times.
School projects are not my thing.
Yeah, no. And I don't even know if you can, I mean, maybe you can find them on YouTube or something, but she said that she signed a nudity agreement for the film, and that then Franco asked her to film some unscripted nude scenes, and including like a scene where there was like an orgy. And during the filming of that scene, the actresses, they wear like kind of like a plastic guard over their private vaginas, you know, so if you're like simulating oral sex or whatever, really doing it because there's this plastic guard there. Mm-hmm. There were scenes like that, and Franco kept removing their plastic guards.
What a ugh.
Right? She said that she auditioned and she paid some extra money to actually take a class taught by him called Sex Scenes. She assumed that the class would be to teach you how to like negotiate sex scenes like professionally.
Right. They have an intimacy coach.
Yes. And instead it was the entire class. She said it was get naked and do sex scenes and not complain and push the envelope. That's like all it was. It's really gross. Two other student actresses backed up the story that these things happened, and that both said Franco would become angry when women would tell him no or say like, I'm not going to do nudity or I'm not going to be topless. He would get super pissed.
Of course.
And yeah, midway through filming, James Franco approached two of these actresses who were wearing masks and lingerie, I guess, for one of their movie shoots. And he was like, who wants to take their shirt off? And when the actresses were like, no, thanks, he stormed off. There was an abuse of power.
Like, well, he doesn't say that to the guys. Take off your
exactly.
pants. Let me
exactly.
see your dicks.
Yeah. No, because it's about how do we control the women and make them do what we want. So after Harvey Weinstein's stuff came out and was public, Sarah Kaplan said that Franco actually reached out to her and apologized to her for making her feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
And she said, I want to give him credit for at least being open to communicating with me, but I felt like he wasn't really taking accountability for his actions and for the environment on the set. Another actress named Katie Ryan said she met Franco at Playhouse West, and she took several classes also at Studio 4, and said the actor would always make everybody think there were possible roles for them on the table if they were to perform sex acts or take their shirts off in his projects.
God.
Yeah. Another woman named Violet Paley, she met Franco in March 2016, and she was giving him a ride in her car, and she said he whipped out his penis,
ugh,
put his hand on it, and that he just started pushing her head down.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, and that she didn't know what to do, and she said she was super shocked, and that she basically did it, like ended up performing oral sex on him. And then she said that she saw somebody coming and that's how she got it to end. And she said that he jumped out of the car and split. And she said, you know, she started crying and she was embarrassed and disillusioned and traumatized. And she said, I'm a young aspiring filmmaker and I just didn't want him to hate me. I was fucking terrified that he would. She was afraid that like her career was now ruined. He did reach out to her again later. She didn't know what to think. And so apparently she actually got into like a consensual relationship with him, mm-hmm, to, you know, and I think we've talked about this before. Like sometimes these women take something fucked up and they try to turn it into something normal.
Yeah, the normalizing it or trying to change the narrative. It happens. I mean,
exactly. That's
people,
what I'm trying
to say.
You're
often abused by someone you know and or love.
Yes.
Because it's an intimate, I mean, people have to get intimate with you to get into that space. And so it can be confusing. I can understand that.
Yeah. She said that they were together for a little while. Eventually they broke it off. Years later, he actually reached out to her and she said he tried to make amends to her. So that's something, but I don't think it stuck because she's still talking to the Los Angeles Times. Another actress, Charlene Yee. So she was in The Disaster Artist.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember
her?
Yes,
yes, yes.
Yeah. She accused Franco. She said he was a sexual predator and that his peers enabled his behavior. And she actually went on her Instagram and said, why aren't any of James Franco's white male, quote unquote, feminist peers holding him accountable for abusing women and then using his power and platform to gaslight them? She said she didn't want to work with James Franco. She tried to break her contract and get out of it. And instead, they bribed her with to take on a bigger role in the movie. And she said she started crying, told them that's not what she wanted to do, and that she didn't feel safe working with him. She thought he was a sexual predator and that they just kind of minimized her and said that he's not like that anymore.
Oh, yeah. He's safe now.
Yeah, he's safe now. And she's like, I literally heard him abusing a new woman that week. It's
Holy
fucked up.
Shit.
He won the Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Comedy or Musical for The Disaster Artist. And after he won, actress Ally Sheedy, who had worked with Franco in The Long Shrift, an off-Broadway play, she tweeted, James Franco just won. Please never, ever ask me why I left the film and TV business.
Which just so makes me want to ask you, why did you leave the film and TV business?
Yes, she's got a story and she's not talking. I'm like, what did he do to Ally Sheedy?
You monsters.
You monsters. Remember when the Me Too movement was happening and all the women took to the streets? Elizabeth McGovern?
Elizabeth Perkins.
Elizabeth Perkins was walking and her sign just said James Woods. And I'm like, what did James Woods do to her?
Not to Perkins.
No. So I'm just, I really did try to, I did so much poking around trying to find out what he did to Ally Sheedy. I got a whole lot of nothing. She even deleted the tweets, but people had screenshot it. So she clearly doesn't want to talk about it. After a bunch of women came forward, after all these women came forward, Franco actually skipped the Critics' Choice Awards that year, but he did show up at the Screen Actors Guild. He was not nominated for an Oscar, and he was removed from the Vanity Fair Hollywood issue.
Aww.
He paid his price. And I, you know, and I wrote here, I was like, first part, he has half-assedly tried to make amends with some of these women. He did speak out about the accusations when they first came out in 2018, and he said, if there's restitution to be made, I will make it. I'm here to listen and learn and change my perspective. And he did settle a two of the women, Sarah Kaplan and another one named Toni Gall, filed a sexual misconduct class action lawsuit.
Good.
Yes. And they won. They won. But they won $2.2 million. I'm like, it's not bad. It's not bad. But and that was just this June, like June 2021.
Really?
So that's yeah. It had been in the courts for a little while. So they got a little bit of money, but not very much. And I will say James Franco's been pretty quiet. There's a really there's a People magazine article where it's like James Franco really had a bummer of a 40th birthday because everybody was mad at him for harassing women. It's like, wah, wah, come on, people. But that is our creep, James Franco.
Good job, Sonia. And
Thank you.
I listened. Seth Rogen has a really great book out called Your Book.
It's on my list.
James
yes.
Franco is in there in the audiobook. Okay. But he's kind of cut off all contact with him, too.
Yes.
Like he's just said, I'm not going to work with you. You know, you got to make better restitution. You have to prove yourself.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Seth Rogen seems like a pretty decent guy.
I read another interview with Busy Phillips where she said, Seth Rogen is married to a very smart woman. That was her comment about
yeah.
it. Like, basically, like, Seth Rogen's wife was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really like her.
Yeah. It's a great audiobook. If you like audiobooks, I recommend that one. And I think he's a stand-up kind of guy. I was thinking of maybe we talk about one person who's not a creep just to kind of cleanse the palate. Would you be into that?
Yeah.
All right. So I was watching a documentary on HBO Max when it started working. Finally, it works now.
Yay.
I bitched about it for 6 months straight. It was impossible to hang around.
It's bullshit.
I know. Spike Lee had a 4-part series and it was all about New York City, 9/11, you know, how New Yorkers respond to different kinds of traumas and tragedies over the years. One of them he started it with was the pandemic. The pandemic began February of 2020 And we all know all the restaurants started closing when we were first in that pandemic. Jeffrey Wright. Do you know who Jeffrey Wright is?
Yes.
He played Basquiat. He was in Westworld. He's in just a, he's a brilliant actor. He lives in Brooklyn. I think it's Fort Greene is his neighborhood. I don't bother him. He's a working actor. He began a charity. He works for Brooklyn for Life. What they did was they took meals from restaurants and delivered them to hospitals around Brooklyn. And he started with his neighborhood. It was like 200 meals a day. And then a few months later, it was 2,500 meals a day, and it was 50 restaurants to 10 different medical facilities and 11 fire departments, stations. I'd say FDNY. I'm like, what's the F? Mercury's in retrograde, you guys. It's just completely
robbing
my senses. But anyway, he got so behind it, and he went on Twitter, and he got Rosie Perez involved, that $250,000 from AT&T was donated to the charity because he was doing so much good work. So there is an actor we could talk about today who's not a creep. Jeffrey Wright.
He's awesome. He's one of those actors, when he shows up, you're like, yes!
That guy's always good. He always brings something interesting. I love it.
Yeah, good choice.
Thank you. If you like the sound of our voices, by the way, and if you've stuck with it this far, you probably do.
I should hope so.
We also co-host a show called Dorking Out, where we dork out about movies. And Sonia, what are we going to be talking about next?
We're going to talk about the original Halloween.
Yay!
I know. It's the brand new Halloween movie is coming out, and we thought it's finally time. Let's talk about the original Halloween. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be good. So that's the next episode of Dorking Out. Please follow us on all the social medias. Once again, if you have suggestions for creeps and or non-creeps, reach out to us. We love it when you use the Annie Potts GIF. We got one from the Ghostbusters, but the Ghostbusters. But
I love the Ghostbusters.
Anyway, but if you are, reach out to us via email or wherever. And Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com and The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. Where can they find you, Margo?
You can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fit Chick, and my site is brooklynfitchick.com. We will be back soon with a new episode. So in the meantime, everybody, be kind, be good to each other. Don't be a creep.
Creep.
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.